Tintin's podcast. Did you hear this? Did you see this? It's my Leno.
Oh no, it's gonna is that who you're mocking when you do that?
No, that's my like doofy morning show radio host. That's a voice.
Oh, I was like, we have very different memories of Jay Leno then.
But he would always be like, did you see this? Did you hear this? He'd say those two things back to back.
Did he? I guess yeah. I just never watched
Leno. He would like talk about like a headline and then like people were like, oh, go. And then he'd be like, did you see this? Did you hear this?
Why would he say that?
Because it's his shtick.
Is it?
Yeah. And he's like talking about like current events. So like you saw it in the newspaper, you saw it on TV. You heard it on the radio.
I mean, why would you ask the rhetorical question? Why wouldn't you just be like, so today?
That's his routine. And it worked. How long was he on that show for? How big is his car collection? He didn't do that from stand-up.
No, he didn't.
He did that from his show. So, you know.
Sorry, I'm not up on Jay Leno's whole bit. I just, you know.
Yeah. That's
a little before my time, John.
Yeah, I never really got into those things. No. My parents didn't really watch them either, so.
Yeah, my parents didn't watch it. And then, like, my grandmother, the only, like, late night TV she watched was, like, Larry King Live.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm up on Larry King, right? Like, I would get that reference, but.
The only thing that, like, I think that we had regular was the TGIF lineup, where it was, Step by Step,
mm-hmm.
Full House, Family Matters?
Boy Meets World, Family Matters is there.
Yeah, too. Maybe Boy Meets World, like, we're all back to back.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're definitely going to spend the night watching those shows.
Well, sure.
You know, that's the only thing that we had in Tool Time.
Oh yeah, okay.
That was a staple in the household.
God, what a weirdo.
Wow.
I mean, like Tim Allen has like gone off the deep end.
Yeah, but not then. If you're gonna say that, then we're gonna talk smack about Full House because Bob Saget was a very offensive comedian.
You know what?
Back
I feel like we have even touched upon this on the podcast before. You will absolutely never catch me defending Full House from anything.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Except for that dog. I mean, obviously,
unless there's secret photos of that dog, like, eating baby ducks or something, you know?
Oh, why would you go there?
Well, if those existed, then we'd be like, oh, F that dog.
Dude, what is wrong with your brain today? How are you, like, eating baby ducks?
That's the line, is it not? Like, where you're like, okay, that's not a cool dog. That's a bad dog.
Oh, my God,
because, like,
John.
Even if it was, like, ate pies off the windowsill, you used to be like, oh, what a scamp.
Well, I mean, a dog doesn't know he's not supposed to eat ducks, but that's still, like, a super dark place to take.
I know.
How do you keep doing... We've recorded, like, three sets of banter, and, like, you take
you,
it to a dark place.
You keep
place,
putting
like,
me into these corners.
I can't with you today. Let's just get started.
All right, ready to go?
Yeah, please, just, like, check your darkness at the door. You're not helping.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Okay. Go for it.
Fine. I'll do it straight.
No, it's Pride Week.
There it is. I forgot. I knew I was forgetting something.
Oh,
all right.
God.
That's
no,
it.
You know what? Let's do
it. You want me to do a redo?
Yeah, but when you're like, I'll sing it straight, and it's like, well, it's Pride Month.
Oh, wait. I'll sing it straight. Boo-doo-ba-doo, I'm not doing that part. That part's not. Boo-doo-ba-doo, nope, not doing it. Not going to do it. Boo-doo-ba-doo.
Is the purring too gay for you? Is that it?
You said do it straight.
I said not to do it straight because it's Pride Month.
Right, but you said I was redoing the straight version. I was saying straight, like, you know, do it normal, you know, because like that's
are you
a...
saying straight's normal?
Once
what
again,
is wrong with
once
you?
Once again, into corners, you are putting what? Me into a corner.
What is wrong with you? On
like
this,
this
month of
cut
all
that, cut that, cut that,
months.
Oh my God, I should actually, I wasn't planning on talking about it, but I should talk about my desk flag.
Oh my, can I do our intro first?
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay. We didn't need to hear this edited before you send it out.
No, that's just, that's it.
Welcome to 10 Tense Podcast, where we talk tense and make little sense. That's very clear. I'm your host, Indy Monroe, and this is my fully insured co-host, John Burkhart.
I am. Once again, I am now fully insured. And boy, howdy, did I pick up, I picked the high premium for this year, because it's been a while since the old boy's been through the system. Yeah,
you need like a full dyno. Yeah,
they're going to have to.
Dyno? No.
Diagnostic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dyno?
Did
I hallucinate that?
So the ding dong doctor is not the dick version of the gyno. I'm not going to the dyno.
I'm sorry.
Is that what you were thinking?
No, I thought you were like running diagnostics on a car, and I feel and I like couldn't remember my brain.
Where you see the horsepower?
Yeah,
that's a dyno.
Yeah,
yeah, you were right.
Okay, well, stop taking things in like bizarre / dark directions. I was not.
You keep putting me into a corner.
You keep going. But can into the
we
corner.
Call them the dinos?
I don't know.
A urologist?
No. You can be an adult and call it a urologist.
Yeah, but I like that.
No. God. Why do I do this podcast?
I don't know. You beg me to do it. You're like, John, can we please do the podcast? And Sonny, he's a big listener.
I just can't anymore. Mom, I'm so sorry.
One day I have to actually like look her in the face.
You will?
Yeah. Because I haven't seen her for like what?
Ever.
A year and a half, 2 years?
It's been way longer than that. You've not seen her.
Since y'all were in Dallas.
Yeah.
So.
It's been a long time.
And she's going to be sitting there with those knowing eyes because she knows what I've said.
No, Cece is an actual saint.
And I don't know anything that she said. So like she has all the cards in the deck.
She usually does. It's
she's okay. Like, we're going to go out somewhere. And she's like, no, John, don't say. And I'll be like, what do you mean? She's like, Season 3, Episode 7, 5 minutes and 37 seconds in. You said, and I quote, doop, 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 doop. And I'm like, all right, that was one time.
Susu always has receipts, but like, she never, ever has to show them. Because she has this like, very incredible way of like, letting you know that like, she knows.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
I believe her.
Yes, ma'am.
So she rolls really high on charisma checks. That's what you're saying. On charisma checks.
Charisma checks?
Yeah, it's like a part of like role-playing games, like board games.
What
video
does
games.
That even mean?
So like, it's like when you're like, when you try to like bullshit something or try to like just go off you, you do a charisma check and the person that you're trying to bluff has a certain number, and if you roll higher, then you bluff them. If not, they're like, nah, you're full of shit. And if you like go really low, they're like, oh, I'm gonna beat you up or something. You know, it depends on the scenario.
None of that made sense to me. That's but okay. Susu is really good at telling if you're not for real.
Oh, okay. So okay. Cool. So wine segment.
Yeah.
So I finally got I guess like got to experience part of like the wine collecting journey.
Yeah, you did kind of.
Because I wanted to go get a wine that I'd gotten at Total Wine before. And I went to the one in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. They didn't have it. And the guy there looks it up for me, even though the website said that they have it. Mm-hmm. He looked it up in his inventory and he's like, oh yeah, they discontinued it. And I was like, what?
Bummer.
So then I was like, oh no, because I wanted to revisit that wine because I only had it one time. It scored well. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to like give it another go. So couldn't find it. And then I was like, man, I was disappointed. I was genuinely disappointed that I might not be able to try this wine again. And it's like, that is something that happens in this. Like you just, the stuff eventually runs out and you never get to have it again.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like,
something that happens.
And like, to me, I was like, not this one. This can't be that my first one that like I can't get again. Cause it's like it's supposed to be such an accessible wine.
Right.
That it's like, this can't be it. I can't give up on it. So I went online and I found a place that was still selling it. Mm-hmm. Ordered it. And did you see the packaging for it?
No.
They package the crap out of it.
Well, yeah, because they have to send you more if they don't package it properly.
True, but like this is like some heavy duty packaging.
Yeah.
Even like in comparison to like the other wine. The
Did you save it or did you take a picture?
That's still
of it?
Downstairs.
Yeah.
I'll show you. But it's a. I got it. And when I got it, I actually got a little rush of like, aha, I have it.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and it was like, that's when I text you. I was like, all right, I'm starting to get it.
Yeah, keep chasing that dragon.
Yeah. And it's like, and so like part of me is also like, oh shit, this might awaken something bad in me.
Oh,
like where it's just alcoholism? Like, no. Like the collector side of me.
Oh, I see.
You know, where it's like, I just become obsessed with something. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all of a sudden I have this obnoxious collection of the dumbest wine ever.
Yeah.
Because that's what I always end up doing.
Well, if you ever need offsite storage, I got a guy.
Oh, yeah. There's a nice little cool service called Cork Vault.
Yep.
Where you can go and store your wine collection if you don't have room for it at home.
It's true.
Or on your estate. You know, whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be. Anyway, penthouse. Continue.
So, yeah. I got it. I ordered 4 bottles.
Okay.
One I'm going to have soon. And then the next two will be that I share with people down the road.
Cool.
And then the other one will just, I guess, sit there for a long time.
Just store it properly.
Okay. We need to talk about that at some point.
We will.
Okay. So, yeah. That's, yeah. So.
Super exciting. So
wine collecting is definitely a drug, and I need to be careful.
It is. Sorry about it, but so, not sorry about it. What are you drinking
speaking
tonight?
Of terrible wine collections.
Oh, no.
We are returning to 7 Days of Wine.
I mean, I think at this point, though, it's been fairly hit or miss.
Yeah. It's either awful. Or it's like, all right, it's you know. Like,
okay, I could do this.
So this one is called Doodle.
Like a Labradoodle?
No.
Oh.
Like sketching.
It's spelled the same. Why not?
Sure. Yeah. Is there a dog on the label?
There should be.
There's an elephant and a bird. There might be a dog in there. Huh. There's a lot of stuff. It's a Pinot Grigio from Italy. And on their website, that reads, there is a saying in Northern Italy. No meal without wine, no wine without character. And so, the hardworking wine growers of Emilia Romagna, I'm not very good at Italian pronunciation, who produce Doodle, have created a wine that meets both needs.
Interesting.
Doodle is ebullient, joyful, and energetic, full of local character and a wonderful match for a wide variety of cuisine. All this makes Doodle the perfect wine to drink with those you know, those you want to know, and those you love. So, do as the Italians do. Cook up a hearty meal, invite your friends, sit down, and raise a glass of this delightful white.
Ebullient.
What did I say?
Ebullient.
Oh, I said ebullient.
Oh, wait. Did you say ebullient?
Yeah. Ebullient. I hadn't seen that word before.
I didn't either. That's okay. Really good. Okay. Adjective. Cheerful and full of energy.
Okay. That could describe me. You know what? I'm going to put that in my profile.
Ebullient.
And if somebody can pronounce it, I'd be like, all right, we're cool.
Google pronunciations.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're speaking very highly of this, but it is their website. Yeah. I feel like this one's a bit... like heavier than some of their other write-ups?
Yeah, I feel like we weren't clear on instructions for this one. You could have left this one in the fridge.
Oh.
Instead of letting it sit out.
Wow.
So it's probably going to like...
It's still kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I would say there's like a bit of acidity in there.
That's probably right. Yeah.
It's a white wine, so it's going to be
Well, it's Pinot Grigio. It should be, yeah.
Yeah, definitely more acidic than what I've been drinking.
Yeah.
That is definitely like the, not predominant, but that's like the stronger thing.
It's kind of the common thread in a lot of the stuff that you've been drinking. That you were not doing a lot of bright, acidic sort of wines.
Yeah.
So like for perspective, while you're kind of thinking over how this tastes to you, like if I'm out somewhere and, or if I'm at like a wedding or something and they've got a bar and they're just pouring wine.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them what white wines they have.
Yeah.
And if they say a Pinot Grigio, I'm almost always going to go for a Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
Because you can get really god-awful Chardonnays out there. And I do not respond to buttery, oaky Chardonnays. And a lot of people do. So a lot of what you will be poured will be like that. Some Sauvignon Blancs will come off very sweet. Rieslings will also come off very sweet. But a Pinot Grigio, even if it's a little sweet, it'll still have that brightness, that acidity, and it'll be fairly light.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I go for. That's what I find drinkable in like a social setting.
I do like this.
Okay.
There's a bit of, I would say like, not lemon.
I mean, probably lemon.
Like lime.
Okay.
And citrus. The profile says that there's pear in there, and I definitely taste that in there.
That's cool.
So it's got a bit of fruit in there.
Yeah, and at 12% ABV, it's honestly pretty drinkable.
Yeah, this actually isn't, I'm cool with this.
Good.
Like, if I got a glass of this, I'd be like, yeah, this is great.
See, there you go.
This is like a daytime wine for sure.
It's, what I like Pinot Grigios for is like, you know, summer on the patio. You know, just hanging out, summer on the patio.
Is this the one where I'm like, can you put some ice cubes in it for me, please, darling? Like the old ladies?
No.
No? Okay, with a cigarette?
Ew. At that point, just get a wine spritzer. I mean, really. But like...
No, I mean, this is at least a 7 to me.
Great.
Like, it's not like slap you over the head strong with anything.
No, and Pinot Grigios really aren't going to be that anyway.
Like,
that's,
it's just...
That's another reason why I like them, is because they're just not...
Yeah, it's smooth. And like, I think that's kind of like pretty much what you were saying with the other ones where... It's like you're drinking like Kool-Aid or something, like where it's like very strong and like the fruit and sugar.
Oh.
You know, where it's like, oh, I'm sucking down a Capri Sun.
You've said that.
Right. But it, like, that is kind of the same takeaway of what you were saying about the other types, right?
No. I mean, not really. I mean, it's kind of like, what experience are you going for with your wine? And typically what I go for is that, like, I just want something that will like compliment my evening, and you know, it's something I don't necessarily have to think about in terms of what I'm pairing the food with. I can just enjoy it by itself, or I can enjoy it with whatever I'm eating that night, and it's not a big deal. I don't know, I tend to just not gravitate towards just big bombs like that.
I would be okay having this, I would be willing to try this with food. Most alcohol I don't like with food. It just doesn't work for me.
And I do wonder how you'd feel though if we like made you a nice steak and got one of the cabs that you like.
I'd be more than happy to give it a shot, but I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be surprised if I was like, nope, I'll just have water or like Coke or something, or milk.
And that's fine, you know? But I mean, like, I think
it's because, like, I enjoy the taste of food so much.
But that's the thing. Like, if you get a really good wine pairing, though,
yeah, is that I don't think I've had that.
They will complement each other in a really nice way.
Yeah.
And that's what one of my work buddies and I were talking about. Like, we're talking about one of the wine dinners that Bill had thrown, where like his catering chef that he likes to use, who's just awesome and so talented.
Yeah.
His family has a Caribbean food truck.
And oh, cool.
Bill was like, hey, I would really love it if you made Caribbean food for one of our events. Like a really nice, like, curried goat.
Yeah.
Would be really cool. Or like jerk chicken or something. And she was like, well, what wine do you even pair with that? Like, what can you even have with something that's that bold? And I was like, well, either you go just as bold and you find wine that is strong enough, bold enough to stand up to flavors like that, or you find wine that is very, very subtle, very light, that will just kind of, you know, fade into the background and complement it, but let the food shine. Mm-hmm. So you have to like go to one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's a similar thing. Like if you have a dish and you have like the perfect wine that complements it,
yeah,
or you have wine that just will do nicely alongside of it. Like you can either match it perfectly or you can just have it like be there.
Right.
I think if we found something that matched really perfectly, then you would understand it.
Yeah.
Better.
And I haven't had many good opportunities for that.
So. Right. But it's kind of like when you find that perfect match, it's like the wine is better because of the food that you're eating, and the food is better because of the wine that you're drinking.
Yeah. I'm willing to give it a shot.
That's why restaurants make so much money on meals with wine pairings.
Because they got it figured out.
They got it figured Hopefully. Out. They got it dialed in. Figured out.
Okay. Cool. Well,
what would you give this one?
It's a 7. It's definitely a 7.
Excellent. Good job.
Yeah. I'm happy with it. So moving on, I have a tactical games update. With the
How's your training going since you've been here?
Right, with the unexpected move, that's really thrown a lot of things off for me. It's supposed to be in like 2 weeks.
Oh my god, it is.
Yeah.
So you're not going.
So I'm not going to the Ohio games.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the West Virginia games. That's in two and a half months from now.
Okay.
Because you can't get a refund, but you can defer your entry to a later event in the year.
Okay.
And besides that one, all the other ones are like on the other side of the Mississippi. So I'm definitely not going to those.
So you're going to go to Backwoods, West Virginia?
Yeah. Well, I was going to go to Backwoods, Ohio.
I don't know which one I would hate more.
Well, this one's closer. This one's only 5 hours away.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to... That's the deal with that.
Did you find a gym?
Not yet. I need to look into that, see what the cost of that is. But I have some of my own equipment that I can train with, and there's a bunch of hills around here, so I can just go hit hills all day.
Oh, yeah, you have those now.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing I need to work on. My strength is, like, doing all the CrossFit stuff, like, in the classes, like, I was always on the edge. I was on the outlier end for strength.
Cool.
Of just raw strength, being able to move stuff.
I'm John. I'm like really manly and stuff. I can lift everything you need.
Right. I can do it like a one and done. Great. I can do that, you know. But it's the endurance that I need to work on.
Right.
That's the big thing, you know.
Well, best of luck. And I will not be in West Virginia. It's not happening. When is that anyway?
Where?
When?
End of August.
Yeah, I'll be way too pregnant for that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't expect any of y'all to get to that.
Hard pass.
I might have Sonny come out and be like the drink cart guy.
You're not taking my dog to West Virginia. Oh,
jerk.
No, it's not happening.
I'll just pick up a dog on the side of the road.
Do, and then keep it
You're
forever
my friend.
And love it.
Yeah, so hopefully I can do that one.
Adopt, don't shop.
Moving across the country on your own is very hard.
It is.
And
John, that's why I married well.
So like it's like I'm not caught up. I don't have everything figured out, and it's gonna take me a while until like I'm completely on my feet by myself out here. So part of that is also like, with that in mind, I would feel pretty irresponsible to take off 2 weeks from now halfway across the country to go do a thing.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah.
That's like, oh, I'm trying to save up for this. By the way, I'm going to go do this. It's a luxury thing.
Do you have a calendar year to put it off, or do you have it until?
No,
like...
Yeah, you can only do it within the season.
Lame.
I know. So.
Well.
Yep.
Get to stepping.
Yep. So, you know how when I came into the SECA, I was pretty green when it came to like going to tracks and stuff like that?
No.
Okay, well, I was. Pretty much all the tracks that the SECA took me to was the first time I've ever been to them. So like NOLA, obviously, I'd been
there. Oh, like you hadn't traveled around, but you had been on tracks before.
I'd been on a track before.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Sure. No, I understand that now. I thought you meant like in general.
But even just going to them. Okay.
Okay.
And so, we both worked there when they first went to Indy.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And it was like, had you been there before?
Indy? No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought that I hadn't either. I was like, holy shit, we're going to Indy. That's pretty cool. Like, I at least understand enough to understand the significance of this.
Right.
Well, I was going through some boxes and turns out that I went to the Indy 500 when I was younger.
And no one ever told you this?
I just completely forgot. A neighbor took me.
How old were you?
I don't know exactly when it was.
What were you even like doing there?
They were a family friend, and they were just like,
come with us.
Well, they didn't have any kids, and he'd been a mentor to me for like computer stuff.
How old were you?
So it was either junior high or in high school. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember the date.
Like, you're not a child.
No.
And you just don't remember this?
No, I don't. I completely forgot about this.
How many concussions have you had?
I don't know. I don't have any documented ones.
Great.
But I had a weight fall on my head as a child.
Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't have any documented ones either.
There's something on TV somewhere.
Okay.
So all I remember now that like I'm like, oh, I'm looking at these phones. I'm like, wait a second. I recognize this
place. Like, I know this place.
I've been there, and like they're all like, I mean, you can start looking through.
That's
they're
a
like
pagoda.
They're like clearly like photos that like a kid took. Okay, they're awful photos. There's nothing of interest. So like the first half are just like pictures, like shitty pictures of helicopters and jets in there.
Those are shitty pictures of helicopters
because a kid took them. Okay, I probably had a disposal. There are no photos of me.
John, there's like 20 pictures of
helicopters. Just skip through it.
Okay, why did you hand it to me with the leading with the helicopter?
Because that's where that's how I found this, okay? Like, you're going through the same discovery as me. Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God, so many.
And so like, but like, if you look at the turn, it's like, oh, that looks, I'm at a racetrack, you know? You can see grandstands and stuff.
Well, sure, and here's a guy in a tie-dye Indy 500 t-shirt, which is not weird at a racetrack.
I didn't even notice that. I started looking at like the big stuff, okay, and then I saw the pagoda. I'm like, wait a second,
yeah,
I recognize this.
Well, like, okay, there's some Indy cars,
but yeah, and then I was like,
anywhere.
Well, I saw the pagoda, and I was like, wait a second, is this Indy? And then I finally found the Indy car pictures.
Oh my God, how many pictures of this blimp did you take?
I don't know. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Apparently,
y'all, this is why you shouldn't raise your kids in the Midwest.
We were in the infield. Oh my God, okay, which is really cool. And now that like I finally was able to think about it for a couple days,
there's the pagoda.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I really remember is that it rained a lot, like causing delays. Rain. Okay. So I looked because Indies, everything about the Indy races is heavily documented.
It's so funny, doesn't, because there's like 1,000 pictures of the sky. And there are 2 pictures where the pagoda,
blurry photos.
Where the pagoda is like
Indy cars.
Barely.
I had no idea where I was. Like, I didn't follow racing as a kid.
You didn't, but you hadn't like heard
of it. I didn't understand the significance of it. It was just like, hey, do you want to come with us to a race weekend? And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, that sounds neat. And like my mom and dad were like, oh, you need to go to this. And I was like, all right, fine.
I feel like the Indy 500 is so like household name though.
I didn't follow sports as a kid in any way. Like none of that was even a blip on my radar. I was in my own world. So all I remember is that.
That's our cover photo right there.
This shitty helicopter photo
with barely the pagoda in the background.
Yeah.
that's it, because that's the best shot in that stack of the pagoda.
And what's really funny is the back of the guy's hat has the Indy logo on it.
I know. That's amazing.
So
now there's Indy logos everywhere. And somehow you managed to get the,
I've completely blocked this out of memory for the most part,
worst shots.
But what I do remember is that it rained a lot to where like it caused delays.
Right.
So I looked up Indy 500 races.
You pulled up the
with
all
rain
back.
Delays.
Yeah.
You know, and there was only 2 that it could have happened. 01 and 04. 01 had 2 delays. 04, they called the race early.
Okay.
I don't remember which one it was. I just remember that it rained a lot.
And you're not going to ask your family friend?
I haven't talked to him in forever.
Fair enough.
So I don't. And I texted my dad. I was like, do you remember when I went to Indy? And he's like, I remember you going. I don't remember what it was. Like, I remember that it was like junior high, early high school period. You know.
When did you graduate?
06. So if it was the 04 race, I would have been a sophomore. And if it was the 01 race, I would have been like going into 7th grade.
Yeah.
So. And I was trying to remember, like, well, when did I really get into computers and start talking to Ron more? And I'm pretty sure that wasn't until the end of junior high, which means I would have gone to the 04 race. But the other thing that I remember is that we were on the infield. One of his friends had an RV there. And I remember getting drunk.
And you were probably in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the other reason. I'm like, it was probably the 04 then.
Hope to God you were at least in high school.
Yeah. And which, from what I understand from like everything that Krolowitz has told us about infield parties, a drunk 12, 13 year old is completely plausible early 2000s. Like, nobody would have batted an eye.
God, this just got sad again.
You know, so it's like, yeah, that I remember those. So I'm pretty sure it was the 04 event.
Do you not remember when you started drinking?
Like, my first beer?
No, like, when you started, like, the handful of first times you got drunk. Do you not remember, like, what era of your life that was?
Oh, it was around then?
It was around middle school?
Oh, like, I go to a party and get drunk?
No, like, oh. Like, how, if you're drunk somewhere, yeah, how is that not sticking out in your brain as a memory? Like,
that was one of the first times.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Is, yeah. Like, do you not have it in your memory of, like, when?
Well, it's not like the first time I got drunk and then I was getting drunk a lot of times after. Like, there was years in between, I think.
Right, the first but when you think time. About the first time you got drunk, were you in seventh grade?
I don't think so.
Okay, so then probably not.
Yeah, so probably high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I was trying to get to there, John. Okay.
All right. I wasn't sure what you were saying. So, yeah. apparently, young me has been to Indy 500 a long time ago. Got the infield experience. Sat right at the fence as they went by from inside. It was turn three.
Okay.
From what I've been able to figure out, because that's the only place that you could do that from.
Right.
And I looked up when they constructed the road course. Because I was like, well, was that there then? And it was. It was constructed like in the 90s.
Yeah. It was earlier.
So that only leaves turn three. So.
Well, good for you. You cracked the case.
Yeah. So looks like I have a much richer motorsports personal history than I thought.
Good job.
speaking of motorsports, been messing around with the Spec V Life.
Okay.
A friend of mine has figured out that you can drop those seats into a Versa.
Okay.
Which is pretty rad.
Okay.
A cheap upgrade. If you can find them at the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
I did a tune up on it.
Okay.
But I'm still having bogging issues between 3,500 and 3,000 RPM. So if anybody knows what the hell that's about when you're cruising, let me know, because I can't figure it out. I also haven't given a lot of thought to it.
Great, good update. Great update, John. Good job.
So, yeah, that's, I just haven't done a whole lot with it. I've put like 10,000 miles on it so far, and it's been great. Like, good. I'm glad I got the car.
Cool.
I, like, sometimes when I walk out in the parking lot and I see it, I'm like, I like this thing. It makes me happy. So.
Just wish your turn radius were better.
What?
I heard it's terrible.
No, your husband just doesn't know how to drive.
That's absolutely not true. That is something I will say to Houston, is he can drive anything.
Uh-huh.
And I greatly attribute his many years as a valet. He can drive and park absolutely.
He complained about the turn radius, and I was like, well, are you comparing it to the Corolla? Yeah. I was like, well, the Corolla's smaller. It's a shorter wheelbase. Of course it has a wider turn radius.
Sure, but if your turn radius sucks, your turn radius sucks.
It doesn't suck. It's just bigger than what the other car is.
I don't know, man, because the turn radius in the Passat's pretty good, too.
He didn't say it was worse than the Passat. He just said it was worse than the Corolla.
You should ask him.
Okay. Anyways, talk shit about my car after I say I like it.
Some of us
find
a turn
radius. This is what we do. This is John finds something that makes him happy. And then we just shit all over it.
Some of us find a turn radius to be an important thing in a car.
Look, man, if I want to whip that bitch around, I'm going to get it to whip around. There ain't no doubt about that. So I'm not too worried about it. Anyways.
Okay. Guys, John can't U-turn, by the way.
I can, what? Did I mess up a U-turn recently?
No, but you're going to with that turn radius.
Just end up in a ditch. God damn it.
You're going to do like a 5-point turn and like there's all these cars backing up behind you. People are like,
just hold on.
God,
just wait.
Stupid man, do it.
His dumb Sentra. Ooh, look at him.
Oh, he's from Louisiana.
Look at me.
Got it.
I drive a Spec V. Ooh, I have red seatbelts. Ooh.
Anyway, what's next?
Are we done making fun of me?
Never.
Okay, cool. All right, so I unpacked some things.
You clearly did, because we have 1,000 pictures of blimps right now.
Yeah. I pulled out the Scouts cooking book.
Yes,
that I had bought last year.
Deeply offended by what we have picked out from
this. That you did it. So I gave India two sets of ranges of numbers. First was the like food types. Like it's split up by like breakfast, lunch, dinner. So I gave her like a 1 through 4 to pick from. Mm-hmm. And then I gave her a set of like 1 through 40 to pick one of those meals. And India picked out Turkey Joe's.
Which, like, okay, we all love Sloppy Joe's, right? They're crowd pleasers.
Yeah.
Kids love them.
I made them extra sloppy. Just the way you like them.
You're ruining it for me. But you lost me at turkey.
Yeah. Do you want to go up or down a number?
I'm just not optimistic that it's going to be better.
Do you want to go up or down a number?
Don't care. Tell me what both of them are.
Okay, well, this one I'm not quite sure how to pronounce.
Okay, well, show me. Croque monsieur a la scout.
Okay.
What does that even mean, a la scout? I don't know.
To be fair, it's a Boy Scout cookbook, so they're probably not using words correctly. They're just being goofy and dumb with it. Because they're made by kids, some of these recipes. So don't be too mean.
I don't want to like read into it too much. I just don't know what they're like a la scout is.
It's a classic French lunch that brings a little gourmet to the traditional scout lunch fare.
Right.
That's all you need to know.
Okay.
And then plus one is Ginny Jump sandwiches.
What is that?
The story behind these sandwiches was simple necessity. My three grandchildren and I were staying in a shelter at a Ginny Jump State Park in Hope, New Jersey.
That sounds awful.
The cheese slices for grilled cheese had become soggy in the cooler. Yuck.
Ugh.
The local convenience store had only cream cheese in stock, so I thought, why not?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't.
Is not just for bagels anymore.
No. She made cream cheese grilled cheese sandwiches?
Yeah.
That's disgusting, Don.
You gotta feed your kids.
Is there nothing else in there? It's just bread and
cream
cheese.
You want to hear the ingredients?
No. Oh, God.
Bread, your choice. Cream cheese, butter.
Oh, my God. No.
Option. Goes great with a cup of soup.
Oh, my God. I'm going to vomit. You can't tell pregnant women stuff like that.
I was just about to ask, is the pregnant kicking in?
Oh, God.
It's not the cream cheese. It's that it's a sandwich. God,
burn the book. Burn the book, John. I don't. Ugh.
So we might have Turkey Joe's. We'll see how India recovers.
No. Ew. Oh, I can't. We can't talk about this book anymore.
I already put it away.
God, burn it. I can't. Oh. Oh, that's disgusting. And I have so many snarky things to say about it, but I will actually vomit if we keep talking about this.
I'm done.
Okay, Dozen. I apologize for everything John has said up to this point. It's just been a horrifying episode.
We're not even near Halloween.
I can't believe this. Oh my God. Pride deserved so much better than what's happening right now.
Did you say that Pride deserves so much?
God, it did. Oh my God, I'm gonna be sick.
Oh, you remember the Man Expo convention?
I can't. If you like, tell me something that's gonna make me throw up.
No. This is funny. You know how on Reddit they post a weekly, like, this is what's going on this weekend?
No.
Well, they do, and it's also like a newsletter. I think you forwarded the same thing to me before.
Oh, Axios.
Maybe, but it's something very similar, if not. Yeah. And so one of my team members in the group chat's like, oh hey, here's the weekly. This is what's going on. And I look in and I was like, oh, it's the Man Expo. That's what's going on. And I was like, so is the Man Expo where I go to like check out new models? Like the latest make and model? Is that what this is about?
Is this gay stuff? Like,
yeah. It's a gay joke.
Where's your gay stuff? Huh? Where's your gay stuff song?
My gay stuff song? Oh, shit. What was it?
I don't remember. Houston did it.
Yeah, Houston did it. I'll just have to sample it. So so then it turned into a conversation like... one of them is more into long-term leases. I said I'm more into like short-term leases and like vacation rentals.
Uh-huh.
I mostly only do it when I'm out of town. But that's where the conversation went. That was fun.
Oh my God. Okay. I was hoping that you'd actually gone to like the beaver pageant and like you were going to talk about that.
No, I was cleaning. And okay, organizing.
Tell the dozen what that actually is.
I don't even know how to like appropriately...
It's like a beaver costume contest, but like actual beavers. Like it's a woodland creatures.
It's a beaver themed beauty pageant. And what was it called?
I don't remember. It had some funny name to it, but like people are actually dressed up as beavers.
It is the Camp Bushy Valley Beaver Queen Pageant. And like it's the same format as a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
But it's all over the top.
But everyone's dressed as beavers.
Yeah, it's all beaver themed. And so some of the contestants' names were Tinder Beaver, Sateen Beaver.
Ooh, Sateen Beaver.
Ballet Beave, Ballet Beave. The Bicycling Beaver. And Bava Bun Dancer, Beaver Bun Dancer.
I don't completely
understand all these.
You don't have to.
I do need to tell you one of the judges' names was Tooth Beaver Ginsburg. And this is an older woman dressed up as a judge with a crown and gold chains.
I'm into it.
She looks fun. There's a dude. He is Roman themed beaver. He is Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That would have been so much more camping related than anything else. So camping and pride.
The wine authority is Buckminster McChewbark.
Okay.
But like the thing that the gimmick is that like one of the cool things about it is apparently like this is a beauty pageant that anybody can enter.
Yeah.
Whatever you are, you can be a beauty queen. It doesn't matter.
As long as you can dress like a beaver.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, as long as you can pass for a beaver.
No, I like it. It's inclusive and accessible. Yeah. I appreciate it. Excellent.
But, the gimmick, though, is that it's all super over the top. And, like, obviously, every bit of it is ridiculous. You were in the time trials clock conversation?
Yep.
It's this.
Of course it is.
That's what this is.
I am on board, John. You don't have to convince me of this.
If 8 of me were just unleashed to run an event.
I am familiar.
And everybody just egged each other on. Yes. And this has been going on for like 14 years or something.
As it should.
And it's done in a park. It's very family friendly.
Great.
It's pretty cool. I do kind of regret not going, but I definitely think that's something that we'll have to put on our calendar for next year.
Oh, absolutely. We should get on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on from
gay stuff. Oh, and it's a charity event.
Well, even better.
Yeah.
Moving on from our gay stuff segment. I just need to get through the segment because
are you still feeling queasy?
I feel so sick.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
I hate you.
So I didn't know that was going to happen.
I can't talk about it. I'm sorry. hurricane season is fast approaching, and it's important for all of you to know how to be smart and be safe during hurricane season if you were in the path of a tropical storm or full-blown hurricane.
Yeah.
So naturally, I thought of you when I saw this Reddit thread on our camping gear. And the question was, what camping gear should I have on hand for the hurricane? Asked by, God, I'm so sorry.
Hentai Research.
I'm so sorry.
That's their name.
For the love of God, Mom, do not Google this.
I kind of feel like she probably knows what hentai is.
Anyway, moving on. The top answer, and so I'm just going to go through some of the answers that I thought were super helpful, and that'll be our camping themed thing for the week. So Somwear, Somme Wear.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
So yeah,
it's like sommelier. Said solar yard lights are very helpful. They charge during the day and you can put them in the house at night if you lose power. I put one in each sink. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's clever. Especially, like, if it's for your house.
Right.
Because, like, you might already have them.
That's true.
You know? So it's just, like, take them out of the ground and bring them inside.
Bring them on inside.
Yeah. So, it's dual purpose.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a good suggestion, considering the setting.
No, I totally agree. That's why I put it first. It was my favorite. User Dorky Breath.
Reddit.
I know it. I'm so sorry. Instant oatmeal is great for breakfast. Filling, complex carbs, only takes hot water to make. Some unsalted nuts, pecans and walnuts are my favorite. Add crunch and healthy fat. Raisins, dried cranberries or chocolate chips add sweetness.
I can dig it.
Instant coffee. This was, I thought, a very good point, actually. If you are a coffee drinker, you do not want a caffeine headache while trying to figure out life after a hurricane. You will survive with black, cheap, instant coffee.
And I should say, if that's like your, if the maintaining your caffeine levels is your concern, you can always just keep a bottle of caffeine pills. Like, that's another thing.
I think we all saw that episode of Saved by the Bell. And caffeine pills are not safe.
That wasn't caffeine pills.
But also, like, there's something, if you were used to, like, making yourself a cup of coffee.
Sure,
though,
yeah,
like,
the ritual. That, yeah.
There's something really comforting about keeping that ritual.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's a, if time and space is a restriction, that is an alternative.
Doesn't. Do not use caffeine pills. That is not safe.
No, they're totally cool, man.
No, they're not. Don't do it. Canned soup and instant rice makes a great one-pot meal.
Yeah.
If you want more protein, buy a couple cans of chicken.
Or tuna.
Even if you prefer dark meat, get all white meat. Trust me. Is what Dorky Breast says, which that is someone who has been burned for real.
What? I don't get it.
If you're getting for canned chicken. Just get the all white meat.
For some reason, I was thinking like red meat.
No.
Like, okay, gotcha.
A battery operated fan is a game changer. Ooh. If you're trying to sleep in Florida without power. Bought this one on Amazon for $20. Works well camping in Montana. Ideally would want one even more powerful in Florida. Make sure to either keep extra batteries on hand or buy one that has a rechargeable battery and get a way to recharge it.
Yeah, portable fans are great.
They're so good. We actually put one on our baby registry because we're smart. Next up we have user GSJ996. I'm assuming they're Porsche fans. This isn't camping stuff, but last time we were in the path of a hurricane, I started taking all the ice out of my ice maker and filling gallon-sized Ziploc baggies with them for about a week before the storm hit. Our power did go out for a couple days, and I transferred all the bag ice into the refrigerator. It worked like a charm. Didn't even lose any milk.
So the other thing you can do is a plastic Tupperware. You can fill it like halfway.
Yeah, of course.
And freeze that. And those, for trying to keep a cooler or a refrigerator cold, those work better. That's an old fishing trick that I learned when I was a kid.
Sure.
On the bayou.
However you can get the ice
yeah.
in the fridge.
Well, yeah. And that, like, if you don't have like an ice maker, or you only have a couple trays, that's a really quick way to do it too.
Right. Okay. Overall, the Coleman 2 camp stove was the most popular suggestion that people made, although mm-hmm. there were a lot of people talking about preferring charcoal, which is great and all, but like if you're competing with moisture and rain.
Yeah. And also like
not as helpful.
Let's say you live in an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Where are you going to use your charcoal grill?
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Lots of chatter about using water filtration straws.
Yeah.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah, if you're in an area where you have to worry about your water system flooding, then that's definitely a good idea.
Yeah, but another thing, like if you know that the storm is coming,
yeah,
like
fill your tub.
Fill all of your stuff up.
Yeah.
Like we filled, I think, like every growler we got our hands on
yeah.
before our storms. Like just
and the if you need gray water, then you going back to the apartment complex, there's always the pool.
Right.
You can go get water out of there.
Everyone did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their battery packs obviously were really yep. popular because, you know.
Especially nowadays, like yeah. they're so cheap.
Yeah. And I know like during the winter storms, like I know a lot of us like took time, like rotated in and out of our cars, like charging yeah. our phones and things like that. But that's your last resort.
Right.
Let's see. Okay. And my most important tip for you guys, do not forget about your pets. If a storm is coming, make sure you have plenty of their food. Make sure you have plenty of their medication because you don't know when you're going to be able to access that stuff again. Bedding, of course. And then I think one of the things that Houston and I struggled with during the winter storm in Austin was that once we got on a boil notice and we were still, at the hotel where we can't boil water and
yeah.
actual water was harder to come by. We knew that we could drink anything, but the dogs had to have water.
Mm-hmm.
So we started just drinking whatever we could find and yeah. saving all water we could possibly find for the dogs. So always think to account for fluids for your hounds.
Yeah. And,
cats. And
that's when you might want something more than just a filtration straw.
Yeah.
You know, something that can actually filter bulk water.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, those are all pretty good recommendations. If you're in like a heavy flood area, I would recommend some flotation devices on your home list. You know, God forbid you need them, but
big enough for you and members of your household, yeah. Or like big enough for or having the quantity.
Yeah, to cover that. And if you're gonna go in your attic, make sure you have at least an axe.
Oh, to get out of your mm-hmm. house? Yep.
Because if you get stuck in the attic, and the water keeps rising,
yeah, you're not getting out.
Yeah. So.
Well, that got dark. So please, doesn't be prepared, be safe. Yeah, we love you. We're thinking about you.
Yeah. All right. One more childhood memory.
Oh my God.
You ready for this one?
If you make me barf, I'm gonna.
No, this doesn't have to do with food. So, when I was in fourth or fifth grade, I was a crossing guard for my grade school.
Yeah, your safety patrol.
You had this.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you helped kids cross the street?
No, we were like already on campus.
Oh no! I was like two blocks away off campus, helping kids cross a four-way.
Oh, that's real dumb.
That only had two stop signs.
Why?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Houston and I were talking. I was like, "Oh yeah, I was across," and kind of sort of went that route. And I was like, "No!" I was like down the street, away from visibility of any adults. Just and like the I do remember the one like big specification they had was you're not technically a crossing guard because we're not giving you the big sign to tell cars to stop. You can't make cars stop. You can only help escort kids across the street.
I think your school is trying to murder you, John.
Yeah, but so there was like 15 of us that did this. That's and ridiculous. There would always be two of us on each post. And like the even further out one had adults on it, but like the ones right around the school and then like a block or two away was all manned by like fifth graders.
No, that's wildly irresponsible.
And I did this for a year through the winter.
Where is this?
In Illinois.
Yeah, no.
The southwest suburbs of Illinois in the middle of the winter.
So what's your question about this? I don't understand.
Did anybody else have this?
Literally no, John.
Has anybody heard of children manning crosswalks off school grounds?
No.
Okay. If somebody has, I would like to hear their experience.
I bet it was just as exploited.
Well, we got
you were exploited, John.
We got a pizza party at the end of the year.
That's horrifying. You could have gotten kidnapped or
but I would go like an hour before school started. It would help and would do this. And no, I did it for I don't know why I did this.
Because they told you to, because they took advantage of you.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous and so unsafe and horrifying. And how did this get dark again? This
is like I don't our know. Darkest episode and then ever. I remember one time, like the next year, I started doing it at the one that was closer to the school. Like you'd actually cross onto school property. And one of the mornings, the guy that lived right there was like working on something outside and was just like, hey, would one of you mind me help me move this into the garage? And
I was like, okay. No, I just sing your song. This is no, this is the Twilight Zone. I can't sing your song.
All right.
Jesus. What kind of circus you lived in?
I don't know. All right, here we go.
I just keep it campy. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.